to change or adjust in our lives, to be ready to meet the Creator of the universe in our hearts and our souls and in our lives. Now, I should point out that I normally write down some fairly extensive notes well in advance regarding the scriptures before I will be preaching. That being said, I was privileged to read Deacon Jeff's sermon for last week, so I went back through my notes with ruler and pen in hand and began crossing out a number of things that I was going to cover this morning, which Deacon Jeff covered. Deacon Jeff, I must say, did a wonderful job of introducing Advent to you all and celebrating Christ the King. But with all the crossing out of my notes about church seasons, our friendship is teetering just a bit. So, therefore, however, I will approach this morning from a few other approaches. First, of course, as always, let's look at our scriptures. The Old Testament reading this morning from Isaiah was written at a time when the Assyrian Empire, which is today's Iran, Iraq, and Syria, was expanding. And the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, was in imminent danger. That sound vaguely familiar today? And he, Isaiah, was prophesying and comforting the people about the future appearance of a Messiah, a Savior, one that we, you and I, know as Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Verse 1 in the Isaiah reading today was a direct appeal to Yahweh, God the Father, for physical and spiritual rescue. And it said, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence." Going on to verse 5, that is a verse of assurance for us. And it says, "You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways." That is instructions for us to be faithful believers. And then in verse 8, it tells us about the Father's work in us. And it says, "But now, O Father, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." In other words, you make us what you wish us to be. Something seems to be going on here. Isaiah, the prophet of the Lord, has announced, "Worry less, it will be okay in the long run. A Messiah, a Savior, is coming. So keep calm. Trust in God." Again, another good message for today. And next, it gets set to music. We find people singing about the coming of a Messiah and a Savior. Our psalm this morning was Psalm 80, and it is another plea to God to save us. It was probably written as a temple hymn, and it was addressed to the choir master. That would be you, Dana, wherever you are. The psalmist is pleading for a Messiah, pleading for a Savior. And verses 1, 2, and 3 say this: "Give ear, O Lord, O God, Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, before Ephraim shine forth, and Benjamin and Manasseh." Now, note, I should probably stop here for a moment. Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh are not a law firm here in Noonan, but they rather represent the Hebrew tribes and the Hebrew people and us. Let me begin again. "Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You are enthroned upon the cherubim. Before Ephraim shine forth, and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us." Verse 19 reiterates this again, saying, "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts, let your face shine that we might be saved." in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 4, and chapter 9, verse 5, we learn that Jesus is the light of the world. And sometimes in church we will sing, "Shine, Jesus, shine." Our epistle this morning from 1 Corinthians is another reassurance of comfort that we are up to the job of being a follower of Jesus in this time and in this place, in case we doubt that. Paul says, "You are not lacking in any gift as you await for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ." In today's topsy-turvy world, we find stability in our faith and in God's constant love for us. And then in the gospel this morning, from St. Mark chapter 13, that is a prophecy and a promise of when Jesus the Messiah will come back for each of us. In the church, we call this the mystery of faith, which we say together every week, immediately after the prayer of consecration. So let's do that now. Therefore, let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Doesn't that sound marvelous? Or as St. Mark put it this way in the gospel this morning, "And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then he will send out his angels and gather his elect," that's us, "from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven." Now, before anyone starts to fret about the second coming or to predict the exact date about the second coming, St. Mark quotes Jesus as to how we should approach this, and in verse 32 it says, "But concerning that day or that hour," the second coming, "no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Note, we are, however, to be ready and to be prepared. Philosophers of the Epicurean school in ancient Rome used to say, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." We Christians have been taught differently as to how we live and how we are prepared to live. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And one of the ways, or one of the times each year, we prepare to live properly is in this, our Advent season. So let me look at Advent in a slightly different way. You did so well reciting the mystery of faith. Accordingly, I'd like to take you back to high school for a moment. I just saw a couple of grimaces. I apologize. Are you ready? I'd like to look at the Trinity first from a geometric perspective. I know you all loved geometry. Most people can remember the term isosceles triangle. They have no idea what it means, but they remember the term isosceles triangle. That's one actually in which two sides are equal and one side is shorter at the bottom. That is also an early heresy of the church. I know that Deacon Jeff spoke about heresy last week. The heresy is that all three parts of the Trinity are not equal. That is a heresy. But for our purposes, we will look this morning at an equilateral triangle or a congruent triangle. Anything sparking? Remember that? Okay. Because in those triangles, all three sides are equal. Much like our Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three are equal and yet part of the same. Or the individual descriptions which we have given them also work. Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. All congruent. All three are equal and yet part of the same. And since Father Joey is working on his doctorate, I thought I would make you now advanced students and give you an advanced student preview. This is a little Hebrew. It's from Genesis 1:26. Vayomer Elohim Nahashe Adam Hasalme Nu Kidmu Tenu. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image and in our likeness. Us and our, plural, as creator, redeemer, and sustainer. All congruent, all three are equal, yet part of the same. I have added this morning because in Advent, we look forward to the birth of Jesus, the redeemer of humanity, equal to and congruent with the creator and the sustainer. You did so well in geometry and Hebrew. Let's move to sophomore year of high school, and we'll look at Advent this time algebraically. Before it was a grimace, now it was a groan. Since I know you all loved algebra, I will give you a simple algebraic formula. A plus B plus C plus D equals Y-O-U. Let me illustrate. The Advent wreath, can everybody see it? You never. The Advent wreath has four candles, and they represent hope, peace, joy, and love. In the center, the white candle will be lit on Christmas, and that is the Christ candle, because we find light in the center of everything. So your equation, A plus B plus C plus D equals Y-O-U, is having hope and peace and joy and love equals you. Living life as a loving Christian, because Jesus is the light in the darkness. He is our light in our darkness. The following words are from a Christian song that I listened to recently by a man named Matt Mayer, and the song is called Remembrance, which I feel has an Advent theme. Instead of looking at me, please look at the altar for a moment. See the body, see his blood. Know that he has overcome every trial that we will face. None too lost to be saved, none too broken or ashamed, for all are welcome in this place. By your mercy, we come to your table. By your grace, you are making us faithful. By your mercy, we come to your table. By your grace, you are making us faithful. There's another song that I thought of, and it's not by a particularly Christian artist. It's by someone named Sting. But the song is Fields of Gold. And this is the middle voice verse. I've never made promises lightly, and yet there have been some I have broken, but I swear. But I swear in the days still left, we will walk in fields of gold. We will walk in fields of gold. This Advent, let us with hope and with peace and with joy and with love, in the light of Christ, let us walk. For then our hearts will surely walk in fields of gold. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we might be saved. May you all have a thoughtful Advent. Amen. So be it. Amen.